When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we're talking love-hate.
Yes.
In our sewing world,
yes.
Right?
There's a fine line.
There you go. If anybody knows what musical that's from, they can tell us. They'll get bonus points, okay? So we're going to alternate here. This is like we have a little bit of a structure for this podcast.
Yeah.
That's kind of a crazy thing.
Yes.
So let's start off. So let's start on, let's get the bad news out of the way first, okay?
Oh, talk about our hate one?
Talk about our hated. Hate's kind of a strong word. Something we really, really didn't like doing.
I don't know. I don't know if I've ever really hated anything in my life. Like,
sure.
We weren't allowed to use that word when you were growing up. I said, you tell me why you don't like it or something
sure.
like that, because I thought hate is so ugly of a word, you know.
And
it's usually like an emotional thing, and it doesn't always make sense and things like that. But anyway.
It's not a nice thing
How
either.
About the project that just made you so miserable, like you were sleepless and you know, you questioned yourself and you wondered why you did it and just, bleh.
Yes.
Does that equal hate?
So yeah. mom was having trouble. She suggested something. She was like, yeah, can I talk about this? I was like, yeah, but you made that and it was wonderful and
right.
everyone enjoyed it. She's like, yeah, but I was afraid at the beginning. And so she was having trouble coming up with
We could talk about projects. That's a good
Yeah,
podcast.
That's a good
the
one,
project
too.
You were afraid of. Yes.
Sure. But that was a good But you said, I don't know if I can come up with anything I've hated. And I feel like you have accumulated the skills over the years to kind of like rescue anything.
Well, I think there's such an enjoyment in rescuing.
Yeah.
And I've done some rescuing,
satisfying.
Like even of other people's debacles.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? People have brought to me.
Well,
when people were very upset and you know, I rescued them.
And so I think that the projects we're talking about, though, they're not failures. Like mine, the two that came to my mind aren't failures. I did kind of hate doing them.
Yeah.
They were just so annoying.
The process was something you dreaded. So, of course, it seems like it takes longer. And then if you do sew a wrong seam that you have to take out or run out of bobbin thread, all of that seems to add to it. It's like when you leave late for an appointment. Why is the traffic worse? It's not.
Right. You're
yeah.
just in a hurry.
Right.
I think that that's kind of interesting, though, and that I don't think you, like, you just have that skill set. But we have been doing some sewing for other people lately that's been getting in the way of, like, our life.
It just gets in the way of my life now. Yeah,
it's something, like, we don't really enjoy doing a lot. And I've been really overwhelmed and busy lately. And, like, sewing
like
something.
Like the rest of the world.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Sewing something for someone else. Sewing something for someone else is really like low on my list of
right.
priorities.
Well,
you know,
the other thing about sewing for someone else is you've made this commitment that you can't back out of.
That's
if
right.
If you're sewing something for yourself, like you're going to this wedding, and you said, I want to make the purple dress, but I'm happy with the flower dress if that's what I have to wear.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can compensate for not being able to, where it was something else that you promised someone, you know, you're letting them down and you're also ruining your reputation.
That's
right. All that.
So you start off with your hate, okay?
Okay. It was the last set of drapes I made.
So, Mom, you're talking about drapes. Are these just like for like one little window in a bedroom?
No.
Oh.
This was for one of our mansions here in town.
Yes.
This is actually a...
Well, let's not say their name. It's
yeah,
a very...
What should I say?
Okay, they're just one of the wealthiest families in America.
Yes.
And they have many residences.
Yes.
But
I worked with the decorator.
Yes.
Who, you know, worked with them on a continual basis. I think it was always, you know.
Yeah.
And this was the mother-in-law's bedroom.
Oh, okay.
That needed drapery.
Okay.
Now, we're not talking 8-foot ceilings, guys. We're talking like 14-foot ceilings.
Right.
And we're talking about windows that go from the ceiling to within like a foot of the floor. Okay. So it's a lot of fabric.
Right.
And this, you know, this family, this person that we were working for had no problem with always wanting the best.
Right.
So the fabric was always very, very expensive.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was nothing to have fabric that was $100 a yard for a set of drapes.
Right.
You know, which meant you could be working with like tens of thousands of dollars worth of fabric. And that one didn't include the lining.
Well, and of course, drapes are already, you know, quote, a lot of fabric.
Yes.
Right?
You have to heft them and move them.
Yes.
Yeah. And your studio needs to be pretty much, you know, pristinely clean because you don't want to be sweeping up crap and, you know, all this fabric or whatever. So, and, you know, a lot of people don't even have the space to make a drape.
Sure.
You
know? Not a drape of this size.
Well, and this size was really ridiculous, right? So, and this wasn't the first set I made, but it also happened to be a rush job.
Uh-huh.
And I consider it a rush job because it was like Friday to Friday. You need to make these 5,000 yards full of, you know, of it was only two windows.
Sure.
Okay. But the other thing is the designer wasn't sure what he wanted. Then we had to wait for the fabric. You know, so, no, I don't have a week. No, now I have like 3 days. And guess what else? I get to hang them. So I have to make sure I have a 12-foot ladder and someone to help me to get them over there and hang them because the decorator can't help me because he's working downstairs.
Yeah.
You know? And it was an event in their home.
Right.
You know? And the mother, the mother was coming to stay,
yes,
so to speak. So I made them. And it was just so frickin' tedious and exhausting and time consuming. And, oh, are they going to be wrinkled after then to get them there, I've got an SUV, but I'm still like folding
them
on each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like accordion folded them on each other and put them, but they're so heavy. Are they going to wrinkle? And what are they going to look like when I get there? And I'm going to have to steam these suckers after I get them up. So my steamer doesn't reach 12 feet in the air, you know. So there were all these issues and the frickin' timeline and the expensive material that I better not screw up.
Made you nervous.
Yeah,
right.
I didn't think I was going to be able to like piece fabric if I screwed up, right? And then, you know, the designer also says, I want something special at the top. Yeah, like a special effect, you know, and I'm like, I would think, you know,
the 14-foot ceiling is a special effect.
And these pleats, you know, that I have to put in and all of this, you know, that's special enough, isn't it? And this expensive fabric, you know, it was just glorious. I think we were going with silk and we wound up with like a poly that looked sort of like a dupioni.
Yeah.
You know, but I hated the whole thing. And I got them up and they did look wrinkled,
uh-huh,
you know, not bad. And I thought, I'm going to, and not only that, but they had to be puddled. So however high they were, they were puddling on the floor too.
Right.
And I always find that, I'm just not a draper. I always find that a little bit of a challenge because sometimes I don't think they look right.
Yeah, except maybe puddling is better than having to get them perfectly even.
Like, no, I thought the same thing. I thought, ooh, I lucked out on the puddling
thing.
Yeah,
a little bit.
I hope this fabric puddles well.
Sure.
Well, and that would have been the other thing is if they didn't like them, I already thought that through. I thought, if they don't like the puddling, I am not unhanging these. I am taking the
sewing machine
in and just sewing them while they're on the window. That would have, you know, I'd already thought about that.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I packed the sewing machine.
Right.
I packed an iron. I packed a steamer. I can't even remember. I remember I just kept packing all this stuff because, you know, and I had dreamt about these every night since,
of course,
you know, I had to do them. So anyway, I did finish, and I finished before the mother-in-law got there, you know, and the homeowner did come see them and like them, and in fact, she asked me to stay to the event and drink champagne with her because she was so happy with me. I have to tell you, I didn't. I was so exhausted.
I said, thanks.
You know, how about, you know, next week? I'll be back for this. Yeah. I was depleted.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that was the thing that bothered me the most is I was depleted and I really almost couldn't do anything else for like 4 days.
Right.
I could just, I barely ate, or I ate poorly. You know, I was like living on Coca-Cola.
Sure. Yeah.
Coke would have helped, I imagine. That's what I hear. But anyway, it was my last set of drapes. I took an oath.
Yeah.
Sure, or a vow or whatever you want to call that. Shortly after that, I would never do this to myself again. And I did. I sought out another person that would make drapes.
Yes.
And she came in as the drapery person, you know, in this team, which, whew, thank goodness. I mean, I just, you know, don't do what you don't like.
Yeah, well, or that you really, really, really dislike.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately, I was sort of like under contract.
Yeah.
You know,
I had
made a commitment. Yes, I'll do all these things because I was doing all these things in this house, you know. And this house is freaking, you know, what was it? Rambling mansion.
They should have had their own, like, you know, drapery workshop installed.
Yeah, okay.
Because they change
so
often.
And here's another thing that was bad about this. If you forgot something, you had to walk like 4 or 5 blocks through the house to get to your car. It wasn't like, oh, I'll run out the front door.
No, you needed
it
like
was
a shopping
like,
cart.
Let me go down the beautiful winding staircase that's, you know, 40 feet in the air and twist around and,
you know,
find my car.
Being wealthy just sounds so exhausting.
It just sucks. It just sucks. So, but no, it was really weird. Like, I remember forgetting my sunglasses in their bedroom one time, you know, and I hadn't even done any work. We were just like walking through something and I was like, I got to the car and I was like, how important are they? Like, I'm going to have to go over there and then back through and down the hall. And, you know, I hope the maid's still there so I can get in. And it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't do drapes.
Just so
everybody knows, I will do a simple curtain maybe, but I do not do drapes.
Not drapes on 14-foot ceilings.
No. Nope.
Okay. So I have like two hates.
Two?
Okay. I know. I get to do two. So, and one, I think this is a funny juxtaposition. Okay. So there was this guy who came into the shop when I used to take.
Oh my gosh, I know this. Okay.
No, you might not.
Oh, I think I
know what you're talking about.
And another one.
I've really been inspired throughout your speaking. I've come up with like 50 things. Okay. Now, at first I was like, I don't know if I really hated anything. And now I've come up with a bunch. So this guy came into the shop and asked, you know, did somebody do sewing? And I used to take it on when I was younger and didn't have, you know, a bunch of stuff to do and stuff. And I wasn't like running the store.
Well, it was your sort of play income.
Yeah,
it
was like extra
money. Like when
you were
in college and stuff.
Yes. And
or high school.
Would have players sign the numbers on jerseys.
Oh, yes. Oh,
and
my
then
gosh.
He'd buy the jersey. And then he would give me the jersey and the number, and I have to sew them on.
When she says players, she means like
football players,
celebrity players.
Yes, yes, a real famous, you know,
something he could sell on the internet because of the signature.
Or like I think he had clients who were like, get me this or whatever. So at first he brought in like 3 or 4 jerseys, okay? These jerseys actually were pretty easy to do, okay? And I'll tell you all how I did them, just in case you ever have to do something like this. I'd lay the jersey flat on the table, and I would measure down however far he told me. He had told me what to do. The letters, you know, they're all very, they're very squared off. Right. Not letters, numbers.
Numbers.
I don't even know what goes in the back of a football jersey.
They were pre-die cut.
Yeah, pre-die cut. They didn't fray. They were like twill with a backing or something. And he told me I need them to be like 3 inches down and centered so I could put the both on there. And then I took cellophane tape and I would just tape around the edge of the twill, you know, onto the jersey. And then they're so big. Football jerseys are very large.
Yeah, it's like sewing on a sheet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I could then go over to the sewing machine and I would just use kind of a long, wide zigzag and go to town on these twill numbers.
So she's taking one needle over the edge of the number and then a bite back into the number.
That's right. So you could barely see it. And actually, they looked really nice after I was done. I used embroidery thread, this kind of shiny white embroidery thread. And I would just take the cellophane tape off as I went.
Right.
I didn't stitch through it because the stitch is so long and wide, it wouldn't have perforated nicely. And so they really didn't take very long. But then he brought in this box that two of me could have fit in, okay? And actually, there were not two numbers per jersey. Like, one number was already on there, and I didn't know why. You know, but, like, if somebody was number 81, he maybe already had, like, the 1 on there, or the 8. And then I just had to put the other signed number.
How weird. I don't remember those.
No idea why it happened that way. And then he comes in, he's like, and I'm moving to Texas, you know? And I was like, okay, you know, and
good
so,
luck.
Yeah. And so he was like, and if you can't get them done before I move, you can ship them. And it was just this big, huge, like, mental burden to think about these, like, 40 jerseys that I had to do. And it just became so monotonous. But that was easy sewing. That was not hard sewing. Okay. Then this guy gets recommended to us by our a former employee. He's like, you can do this. You do this stuff. I loved it when people would come in and tell me that I did things. He'd be like, I'm here because you do this. I'm like, well, I don't know what you want me to do. He said, it's just patches that need to be sewn on these jackets. Okay. Well, it was for a police department. And I'm not going to say which police department. The jackets were super heavy duty jackets, like insulated. These were winter police uniform jackets. Patches had to be sewn on the top of like the sleeve cap of the sleeve. Not an easy place to get to, even on a large jacket. Tons of layers, and the patches would not stick on with cellophane tape. They would not stick on with Wonder Tape or anything, and I couldn't, like, steam a seam them, you know, because I guess because of, like, waterproofing on the outside of the jacket.
Well, a lot of times that's like nylon fabric that just melts with any heat at all.
Yeah, so and no tape would stick to it, right? So I had to straight pin these patches to...
So that the straight kids would stab you when you were sewing.
Oh my gosh, every time, so I could get into them. But when I get stuck with a straight pin, it doesn't even like hurt. It just makes me boiling angry. Like, I am just so pissed off when I get stuck by a straight pin, because I know how to not get stuck by straight pins. I don't use pins very often, and it's more like I am just extremely annoyed by the prick of a straight pin versus it, because they don't, of course, they don't hurt a ton generally, but I'm just like, I just cuss. I'm angry.
Yeah, but you can chew your hands up if you get stuck enough.
Yeah, right. And I'm just like, what the heck? And I would get poked on every one of them because the patches were like, you know, not much bigger than the back of my hand. So they're very small. It's not like I could, no matter which way I pointed the pin, and it was a circle. I had to sew in a circle. And I tried to take the pin out as soon as I could. And then, oh, God, it just ticked me off so badly. And I think that there were 36 or like 47 of the jackets that I had to do. And this guy just kept telling me like how easy it was going to be. Okay?
I don't know why he didn't buy a machine to do
them. Yeah, I thought,
himself.
Why don't you do them? You know, he's like, and then all of a sudden, when I go to invoice him, I can't just write him a handwritten ticket like I would do for my sewing. You know, it would just be like, okay, you know, with 47 jackets for, oh, and I know I didn't charge enough. I think I charged like $4 a patch, and right. It should have been like 12
yeah.
for the time it took, the prep and the turning inside out of the jacket and the storage of the jackets.
Right, keeping them around.
In
yeah.
our store, you know, they took up tables.
Everything
you know?
About it was, yes,
it was awful.
Involved.
Okay, then he told me I had to get like, because of the nature of their organization, I had to get like accredited by this other organization. Mm-hmm. Our business did. And then we could be paid. And I thought, this is a freaking racket. You know, that's part of what makes it annoying for the other. Like you said, there are right. things about sewing for other people that make you mad versus when you sew for yourself. And he didn't tell me about this beforehand. Like I could have started this process before I got myself stuck with the first straight pin of, you know, however many, 100, you know, straight pins that I got stuck with or whatever. So anyway, that is the job. Those are the jobs that I remember just being angry about. And, you know, I know we've got listeners who don't mind this stuff. Like, for whatever reason, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, I'll sew patches on a jacket or whatever.
Okay.
But, yeah, they make me so mad.
Okay, so what we have done here, I mean, what is common between, I think,
the stories.
Projects we yeah. do not like is, first of all, we've learned we do learn a lesson, and I think especially with your two stories or you know things that I've done for other people too, is the first thing to do is ask or interview the project.
Yeah,
how many? What are they? When do they have to be done? And how will I be paid?
And you know,
or I will require half of my payment up front.
That's a good point.
And the other thing that I started doing, because I sewed for a long time for people, is I made sure that I charged enough that if I got pissed off
yeah.
during the project, right, that I go, well, I'm going to get $10 million for this.
Yes,
it's not
and then
that bad.
I won't be mad.
I'm not going to get too bad about my time because I can buy my own island later.
Yes, right.
But it's very important. And I think, you know, this easy thing, I don't know how people come up with that. You know, a man brought in a lady's dress one time that I had to replace a zipper.
Uh-huh.
And I told him the zipper was $3.
Yeah.
You know, and this was an easy fix. It was not difficult at all. You
right.
know? Except I did have to take the zipper out. You
well,
know,
it wasn't worry. Easy. It was easy for you because you had the skill.
Right. I had the skill. I developed these skills over like 30 years.
A long time, yeah.
Right. You know, and I told him it would be $12 for me to put the zipper in.
Uh-huh.
And he says, that's not worth it. And I said, then
okay.
I would buy a new dress.
Yeah.
And he stood there and started like bitching at me and throwing insults and all this. And I said, well, now you need to leave because why would I sew for someone like you anyway? I mean, I was very insulted.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, why didn't he put the zipper in if it was so, I mean, it was going to cost him $18. I don't know how much. Maybe
right.
the dress cost him $4. I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't care.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. But, you know, often we would have that too, where someone might bring in, say, a jacket.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't understand what it involved to take a zipper out of a jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if it was something like vinyl or leather.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where you have to, like, basically, you need to sew right back in the same hole that was made with the first, you know. And they would say, and you would say, well, you know, this will be $20, $30. I mean, I don't know. I'm just coming up
sure.
with an arbitrary number. For a zipper, you know. And I think, well, I don't know what they pay with the jacket. I don't know what it means to them. I don't care.
Right.
This is what it costs.
No, I
you
think
know?
That this is just really...
And you really want to make sure that timeline, you got to ask about that.
I learned a lot,
yes.
you know, for sure when I was, you know, doing things like that. And I think that though, when people don't listen, that's kind of the problem. But we, you know, I think we should maybe take a message break and go to things we sewed for other people that we love.
To make us happy?
Yes. All right. Everybody, It's Mallory hearing your message break, and I just want to make an announcement or a disclaimer or whatever we're supposed to call it, that we are going to start using affiliate links as a way to get support for the podcast and for our website and everything like that. Mom, do you know what an affiliate link is?
Okay, she's affiliating me with something, and I have no idea what this is about.
Yeah, I totally like used, you know, our tax ID number to, you know, da-da. So what an affiliate link is.
I'm going to wind up like in jail and not know what I'm being charged with. Is that right?
Yeah, probably. Okay. No, because we're disclaiming it right now.
Oh,
so
okay.
Affiliate links.
I'll just need a lawyer. I won't go to jail.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. And we'll make money from the affiliate links to pay for the lawyer.
So, that ZD's going to need to keep her butt out of jail.
No, we're doing it all right. Okay, so here's the deal. Affiliate links are links that we post that maybe to Amazon or to other products on other platforms. And when you click through and you buy things on Amazon or you subscribe to something, you know, that we're an affiliate for, we get a kickback. Okay.
Oh, we make money?
Yeah, we make a little bit of money. And what's really cool about the Amazon thing is, you know, we make the kickback on everything you buy. So
if they buy a refrigerator, I can make money on it?
That is correct.
Hey, everybody, buy a refrigerator.
No, we're not. Okay, so that's something we're not supposed to do, right?
Oh, we're not supposed to. So now I am going to wind up in jail.
So the terms of service, though, I just want to let you all know, is that we have to disclaim, like, hey, we're an affiliate for this or this, you know, when we share this tracing paper from Amazon that has free shipping, this is an affiliate link. You need to know that I am not just innocently recommending this, and we will get a kickback on that. So you're going to see some of those in the group. It's never going to be crap that we don't
like. I was going to say, even though we could endorse crap,
we won't.
We're not going. We're actually going to maintain our ethics.
Yes.
Okay.
And we're going to find you things at places that ship fast. We're going to recommend products that we really enjoy using. If you've ever ordered something from us, you may have noticed that Mallory's not the most organized shipper and packer. So we are going to play to our strengths and really focus on creating the podcasts, the videos, the online classes, and allow other businesses that are really good at shipping things to ship things to you. So just be aware that we will be using those affiliate links. There are lots of ways to let you know. I can just say this is an affiliate link, or sometimes people use hashtags, and I've been getting really creative and using, and it's been a lot of fun already in the group. So just heads up, we're going to be doing that. And if you click on an affiliate link, know that if you purchase something, you'll be supporting SewHere.com, and we so appreciate it.
Good idea, Mal.
Sewing out loud.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. Okay, what's your thing you loved?
Well, I actually have two things now that I thought about. But I'll start with one, and you can tell me if I have time for the other one.
Okay.
So
this is a nice, long, juicy episode. So for those of you who like long episodes, you're welcome.
Well, I mistakenly read some of our reviews.
Yeah.
You know, the other day, I can't remember how that happened. You know, 98% of our reviews are really very positive, and they feel good, right? It's like reading your
yearbook.
Your yearbook about how great you are, you know, to someone that you barely remember. Yeah. You know. But there's these ones who are like, they need to stop doing this. They're terrible, or blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my God, you took the time to write this. I must be worth something. Anyway.
I'm not at this time emotionally stable enough to read
the bad reviews.
The iTunes reviews.
They're really not that many ones, but boy, they can cut.
I just got back from therapy dealing with some other stuff. And I just can't put that on my plate right now. So yeah, it's just
some of them are funny.
I know.
Like what they say, because you're like, okay.
It's kind of hard.
And what do you do in your spare time besides insult other people?
Well, it's hard as a business owner like us. I mean, we really need to make people happy. That's our job.
Well, right. Well, you know? Well, I mean, I'm not doing this to upset people or make them think I'm an asshole.
But you know, I'm trying to make people happy, you know, and then part of me is like, I just should go ahead and create what I create, and
that's
I shouldn't
right.
care.
That's right.
But then
that's
another
right.
part of me is like, oh, I should listen. And then I'm like, but that person okay. was really mean to me.
Aren't you amazed, though, by just this bantering that we have, that we can make someone so unhappy that they'll take the time to write that bad review?
I'm really sorry if we made you really happy. They turned it off before now, hopefully. Okay, what'd you love, Mom?
Okay.
What'd you love?
Well, Lindsay had a fairly substantial role in Music Man at the high school.
What's her name?
She was the mayor's
wife. But it's like, her name was like McKechnie Shin.
Yeah,
like she has
something, it's really, really bizarre. And she had to say Balzac.
Anyway.
So, actually, you were in that play.
I was in that too.
There was enough of an age difference that they needed a child to play Amaryllis, so Mallory was Amaryllis. Actually, that dress I made for you was pretty cool, too.
You did cool costumes for that show.
I did. I don't know. I must have been like on a good, roll
on fire.
Right there.
Yeah.
But anyway, I had this striped fabric, which you know I love, black and white striped. And
yes.
It was like what I call Halloween fabric. I think it came off of the Halloween display.
Yes.
And it was a satiny.
It's like a poly satin.
I'm sure it's not even satin. I don't even know what it is. Some sort of acetate that would play.
Shiny poly.
Yeah, I would not smoke around it. I'd probably go up in it.
Yeah.
Yes, as a torch. But anyway, black and white stripe.
Yes.
And, you know, I needed it was for the chick, you know.
Pick a little, talk a little.
Right. And so I also wanted her to look, you know, different in that scene. So everybody was in all these colors. And I made her black and white.
Yes.
In fact, it got used. This specific costume has gotten used again for My Fair Lady in the race scene and things. So, but actually, it's in a picture in our home that was actually hung in the mall bathroom. Remember?
Yes,
all that?
I do.
So anyway, this costume has a big life. But what I did is, I just threw this fabric like on the table and got the dress form. And I just sort of started pinning and fooling around with it and going, well, you know, a mutton sleeve and what about some sort of flare at the bottom and black and stripe. And it came out that I just love it.
Yeah, you did.
And I put the sleeves were on the bias.
I did some cool stuff.
I used the stripe as a pleating effect. So
yeah.
The stripe goes, you know, down sort of a panel in the front of the dress. And then at the bottom, I pleated those stripes in so that it looks black until you walk. And then you get this black and white.
This was like the year, I think, that you bought that pattern that was based on Titanic's costumes.
Wait. Maybe I did buy that for that because that might have been Jennifer's costume.
I gotta find a picture of that. I gotta find a picture of that pattern envelope because, you know, I remember when Titanic came out and Kate Winslet was so pretty and
right.
Leonardo DiCaprio was so cute and, you know,
right.
And I'm like, oh, look, those are Titanic costumes.
Right.
This is the right time period.
I
don't know if you used that pattern, but I just remember that being around at that time.
Who was the librarian in that? Was it Jennifer?
Jennifer, yeah.
I think I might have used that pattern
for her.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
But now you have to understand, I knew Lindsay's body very well.
Right.
Had sewn for her a lot and everything. And she put this on and it fit her to perfection. It was just like, it just all came together.
Yes.
You know, and like I said, I don't know how many times this dress has been worn now, but a lot.
Because
it's a great costume, even though it's made out of Halloween fabric.
Okay, it's extant. It still exists,
yes.
Right? It's over there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And so,
it could be worn next week
so
by the
that
right person.
Year, uh-huh. Lindsay graduated from high school. And when you guys graduated, we took the other two sisters with you and we got a group photograph at the same time. And the studio photograph, and, you know, what are you going to wear? And somebody made a comment like, we could all dress up in show choir costumes. And I go, oh, Mallory's got the costume from
Or Amaryllis.
From Amaryllis, you know, from The Music Man. And Lindsay's got the black and white cousin with the big hat. I had like feathers all over this hat. It was amazing, you know. And Hillary would fit in some of Lindsay's costumes.
Yes.
So, you know, Hillary wore one of the other costumes that Lindsay wore. And they actually, weren't you reading like...
Okay, we're sitting on a bench and I
like
remember...
Like in a little kiosk or something,
no,
like a little...
like it's outside.
Yeah, it's outside.
And I think there is like a trellis.
At the studio, yeah.
There is a trellis and then the photographer... So Hillary's standing, Lindsay's sitting, I'm sitting, I think.
Lindsay's behind standing, you and Hillary's sitting with you, I think.
Hillary's sitting with me.
How could we not know?
We'll go take a picture of that big photograph.
Right.
And so we're all sitting there... And I remember her coming over and being like, oh, hold this like you're eating it. And it's a copy of Little Women.
It was
a really old copy.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know
some
if it
sort
was
of like historical copy. Yeah, something
yeah and
like
this
that.
Woman did reenactments.
Yeah,
that,
she did
that,
reenactments herself.
Yeah.
I made her quite a dress. We have a
yes,
picture
you
of
did.
That.
Yeah.
Where she played
Susan
B. Anthony. Right.
Yeah.
She had
So that striped dress, though, you used a lot of bias.
Yeah, I just yeah.
That
I know,
fabric.
There's a lot of skills like I put into that dress. It's a good like sample dress or example dress.
Yeah.
So anyway, that photograph was taken, and of course I bought like some moderate size ones or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But they were asked to, I guess, decorate them all.
Oh, I think they bought
in the family area or whatever.
I think they bought the space.
Oh, is that what it
yeah,
is?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I think they were advertising.
So they took this photograph and blew it up to what, 16 by 24? Well, how big is that?
Oh no,
photo?
It's got to be bigger than that.
Is that bigger than that? Like 24 by 30 or something?
Yeah, 24
I don't
by 36 or something. It's
okay.
Huge.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, it's humongous.
Yeah.
Okay, and it was hanging in what is called the mall family bathroom.
Yes.
Okay. Which eventually, Lindsay became a security guard at the mall.
Yes.
So she's in there in the striped dress and feathered hat. And Hillary was a teacher in the school system here. And Mallory's just still a person, like, going to school or whatever. But
not in the public.
Lindsay would actually get people who approached her and said, hey.
Are you in the bathroom?
Or is that you on the bathroom wall? And I think... Hillary had a few students that said, Miss Myers, you're in the bathroom wall at the mall.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What happened is the mall redecorated or
yes.
whatever and took it down, and I got a call,
uh-huh.
you know, from her. And she said, I have this picture.
Right.
Do you want it? And I said, I'll be there.
Yeah.
You know? And I, you know, Marcia just... gladly just gave it to me, and I went and I got it, and I went directly to the framing place and said, frame this up good.
Right.
You know, I'll never have a photograph. It's almost, it's like next to life size or
right.
half life
it's
size.
Really, it's really big.
Right. So anyway, you know, it is hanging in our living room, and the girls are there in infamy, whether they want to be or not.
I think it's really cool.
No, it's pretty cool.
Okay. So my thing that I love doing, and this is kind of funny because... this includes some of your things. And this isn't one thing that I sewed. So when I was a senior in high school, we did two musicals a year. And the first one was audition for like the whole school. And the second one was only like the musical theater class. Like only those kids could be in it, right? And so I was a pretty good performer in high school. If I do
Mallory
say so myself, you know.
What we would call shy or, yes.
Anyway, I mean, you know, I was one of the outgoing.
You didn't know it was performing. You just did it.
I was outgoing and I could sing really loud and memorize lines and I was a good listener, right? So
Mallory just had her daughter tested to go into this program, and the tester said something about, ooh, maybe we have a little performer here, huh? No. Anybody in the family
Anyone
perform?
In the family dramatic? And I was like, No,
who would that be?
Yeah. So, I think, like, you know, I was always getting, like, featured dancer parts and all these, you know, things. And actually, in the fall that year, I was in the musical Lucky Stiff, and I got to play two parts that were, like my dreams. And one was a French showgirl, and the other one was, like, a very loud Italian woman. You know, a very loud, fashionable Italian woman.
Yeah.
And I got to play those two roles in the play, like, it was double cast. Anyway, so that was, like, super-duper fun in the fall of my senior year, okay? And then in the spring, we were doing Will Rogers Follies, okay? And I was a senior, and seniors would get, you know, preference or seniority. It was their last year there. So, like, if there was a senior of talent and the sophomore of equal talent, most of the time the senior would get, you know, the role. But I was doing an independent study to get my practical art credit, and I was costuming things, and I had to find things to costume, you know, and working with a teacher. And so I was like, I want to costume Will Rogers Follies. And I went to my choir teacher, and I was like, is it okay if I just costume the show and I'm not in it, okay? And I think this really surprised him because on top of being, you know, like, talented for being in, like, a Midwestern, you know, high school program, I mean, probably pretty, you know, like, vain and arrogant in high school. And he was like, well, you know, you might get, like, a, you know, bigger part in this show if you were to try out. And I was like, yeah, but I think I want to do the costume. So I had a big sense of FOMO about, which means fear of missing out, about performing. And I like to be out there, and I like to get, like, recognition for, like, singing nicely, you know? I really did. But this was – the costuming was getting, like, really interesting to me. And I – he was like, yeah, you know, you can do that. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with you opting out of the performance, you know, and you can costume it. So I costumed the show with a ton of help from, like, my mom and using your old costumes.
Right. We recycled, like
– You had costumed Crazy for You.
Yeah, especially the chorus line things. Yeah.
So Crazy for You had been, like, 10 years prior.
No. Well,
right?
What was Lindsay?
Well, 7 years or –
Yeah, only seven.
Whatever.
Yeah,
okay.
Only seven.
And they were still
but
costumes.
But those leotards lasted, didn't they?
That's right. There were still costumes in the costume shop from that show.
And we had some red, white, and blue stuff from something.
And if
know,
anybody
from
knows –
show choir.
If anybody knows Crazy for You and Will Rogers Follies, it's like they're the same show. It's like it's like Follies come to
well,
the West.
Well, one is –
right?
One is sort of primary colors, and the other one's red, white, and blue. That's the difference.
Well, right, right. And actually, the show choir had done some...
Yes, some of the songs.
Some of the songs
they
from
had done the
Favorite Son.
Favorite Son song.
So
we had costumes from show choir for the Favorite Son.
Yeah, so I got to... It wasn't just sewing. It was a lot of coordinating and finding sizes and, you know, doing all that.
Well, that's
and
what costuming
sure,
is.
Sure,
yes.
Sure. So that part... And I did the... I did the costumes, and... I got to do the jewels, and I got to costume some of my friends. So they did these jewel. There's this jewel song where there's like a diamond and an emerald and a ruby, and these girls got to dress up, and I got to costume them to be the jewel, you know. And it just, like, these things ended up looking so nice on stage. And the Favorite Son, you dyed the gloves for me last minute because...
That we had to actually get someone in St. Louis to ship us some
yes.
because there weren't enough in Columbia because the director said he didn't want those until the last minute.
Right, until, so, you know...
Because we had suggested it earlier when we had time to do it.
And it's what they did, like, in the revival. It's what they did in the original. They had, you know, there's one red glove and one blue glove.
Right.
And then they do all this hand choreography.
Right.
So it looks very striking on stage. And I don't know how many kids were in the show, like 30. So like, yeah. Everybody's doing this.
There's a lot of gloves.
Yeah, a lot of gloves. And really striking when it was done. And I'm not a big, like, some people like red, white, and blue. And we're not big.
Yeah, I don't know why. We are not red, white, and blue people.
I'm not like, I'm going to decorate
and
for
I
the 4th of July.
And I see it
something.
On other people wearing it, too, and I
it's
like
fine.
It. And then I, like, put it on me, and I'm like, no.
But this whole show, this whole scene in the show, The Favorite Son, was red, white, and blue, red, white, and blue, of course. And it looked so cool. And I felt this sense of satisfaction that was, like, so big. And I thought, oh, like, I can get this sense of satisfaction not performing in front of people, too. Like, from, you know, doing different types of work, you know? And that was kind of, like, a thing that I realized in my
brain. Do you remember coming to me and saying that?
Yeah,
you said, Mom,
yeah.
Mom,
no,
now
big...
I know what you're doing.
Yeah, and yeah. I also, it's kind of the feeling when, like, I realized that I really, you know, liked my husband enough to marry him. Right? Like, you know, just like the FOMO going away, right? I was like, no.
I'm not going to miss out on any other men. I can have him.
Miss
I can
out
stick
on
with
else.
Him.
I can, yeah. He's awesome, you know?
I can stick with him.
I don't have to go up and sing in front of people. I can costume other people and, like, let them shine. And, of course, the choreographer and right. the director and the set designer, they all of these
well,
things. And you. And
that's
you know,
a lot of, and I, you know, I think a lot of times people don't appreciate what is behind the performer.
Yeah, right.
You know.
And I think that's what I wasn't right. doing when and, I was and younger,
And that's
too.
Why I think performers should have to do other things mm-hmm. in theater to go, oh, my God. You know, I remember.
Stage manager.
Yeah, I remember it was in the Technicolor Dreamcoat, you know, that I was supposed to make these skirts, three skirts for the cowboy scene, and all of a sudden, there was not enough fabric for a ruffle on one. And it was this striped silk that we couldn't get any more of. And one was a solid, one was a silk, and we, like, alternated them. And I had to piece this striped fabric, and I pieced it for,
right.
for like,
hours.
Yeah, yeah. It was a half a day to get this ruffle, you know, to come out. And I remember the director coming up, and he goes, well, we just wrapped the, you know, the first rehearsal, and the show is 45 minutes. And I'm like, oh, my God. The ruffle was 4.5 hours
yeah,
just
right.
a piece. You know? And so, I mean, it. And I think that's, I think everybody should appreciate this. And when you see the kids on the stage in their recitals, or when you see
right.
Somebody at a piano recital, the song lasts 2.5 minutes, the dance lasts, you know, 2 minutes,
right.
whatever, they have put hours into that, and someone else has put hours into that with them, and you know, whether it was the choreographer or the costumer or whatever, you know, and you're seeing it in 2 minutes, you know,
right.
and it's over. It, you know, it,
and
yeah.
I think that I was like really surprised though that I, you know, when I'm talking about being like a, I was in high school and I was like age 15 to 17,
right.
pretty young, you know, like you don't always have like a ton of, what do right. I want to say, appreciation and grace at that age and stuff, you know? And so I was a big learning experience
yes.
on many levels.
Which
for me.
That man that asked me to the zip about to do the zipper should have understood. He just looked at the zipper and goes, oh, it's just a plain old zipper in there. He did not know the skill, the time I took to develop that skill, how I knew to put it in so that it would look right and he wouldn't
oh,
get
yeah.
a bad job. And, you know, how much time would I have for my $12?
Right.
Was I, you know, think about what I was giving him for $12.
Yeah.
Well, hours, he didn't.
Hours and hours
yeah.
of experience. Well, and that's why, I mean.
I like how he wanted to tell me off because I didn't want to do it for less. That was even better.
And, you know, this is why I think that extracurricular activities are so important.
They are.
Anything, whatever, you know, I can't do things with a ball. Okay. I can't play soccer. I can't play volleyball. I don't have any depth perception. This is, it was never my strong suit. So I did, you know, the dance and the drama
right.
and da da da. And like, that's the reason why.
Oh, well, you
know,
were
we
athletic
can,
in other ways
no,
with
I
your
know,
acro and things.
But we
yeah.
can't, you know, those activities.
Everybody has their own forte.
Yeah, they teach,
yes.
though. They teach all those skills to kids. So if you think, oh, my gosh, we're, you know, going to this dance class, and what are they even learning?
And or, what have I always said about
yeah.
dance, like, you know, going to ballet? How many people are going to be a prima ballerina?
Right.
Not that many. But what else have you learned there?
Right.
You know, you've learned to appreciate the other people in the class. You have to learn to appreciate what the teacher's telling you. You have to appreciate waiting.
Well,
you know, you have to appreciate tenacity that I couldn't do this pirouette, and now I can.
And, you know, not everybody's going to go on to be a professional
right.
football player or
no,
soccer player.
No,
but I think
there,
that those.
But there are values in doing all those things.
Yes, yes. So anyway, that was a little bit more, not just the sewing part was, you know, eye-opening to me, but realizing that I could do other things and that, you know, other people were putting a ton of effort, and it was really satisfying.
Yes.
So obviously I didn't get over my fear of missing out and performing, and I felt like I needed to have my own two podcasts and, you know, you know. So I worked it in. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. You can email me at Mallory@sohere.com, and I will email you back as soon as possible. and you can find us on Instagram. We are @ZD Sewing Studio. And you can join the Self-Sewn Wardrobe group and all that stuff. So take it away, Mom.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.